You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm your host, Haley Peffer, and my guest today is Lindsay DeVito, a freelance groom. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So our topic today is freelance grooming because I know that many of our listeners who are professionals in the industry have an interest in this topic, either maybe becoming a freelance groom themselves or working with one. So could you just start by telling us maybe how you got started as a groom for those who could be interested and what drew you to freelancing over a full-time job with just one barn?
I have been grooming my whole life. My mom, when I was growing up, was a groom in eventing. So I grew up in the barn. I'm total barn rat. I got more into professional grooming after high school. I started coming to Florida for the winters, and I've just made a whole career out of it. The freelancing I kind of came into by accident. When I first started dating my husband, I was doing a little bit more of seasonal jobs, I would say. And it worked really well for the lifestyle I was kind of trying to build. My husband is not a horse person, so I was trying to build a lifestyle able to groom and enjoy my work, but also having a life outside of horses. So I stumbled into freelance grooming kind of by accident, and it worked out really, really well for me.
Awesome. That's so interesting. So could you tell us, for those who maybe don't quite know what this might look like, just what your day-to-day looks like, maybe when you're at a show versus at home with somebody?
So during the winters in Wellington, I do more of home coverage. These days, I don't go to the shows as much. I do a lot of day off cover, or when barns have a lot of horses showing and they just need somebody at home with the horses that aren't showing that week, I do a lot of that. So my day to day is, I often work alone, which is fine with me, because I'm filling in for people who are maybe aren't there at the show or coming and going. So I, you know, go in, do chores, grooming. Sometimes I ride a little bit. It really depends on the client and depends on the day. Every day is a little bit different, which I really enjoy.
That's great. Yeah. So when you are at home, do you often, and you say you like to work alone, so do you often like groom for other people who might still be at the barn, or are you like fully alone and responsible for all the horses?
I would say more often than not, pretty much fully responsible.
Okay.
Nice. I've always kind of made it in my intention throughout my entire career to be able to do everything, and to be really good at that, which I think is really important when you're freelancing, because it's my job to be able to fill in for everybody at the barn. Like, if I need to make grain, I want to be able to do that. If I need to help with the riding, I want to be able to do that. If they need somebody to drag the ring, I want to know how to work the tractor. So I am mostly on my own, kind of making my own schedule, obviously doing my best to integrate into whatever program they're already using.
Definitely. Yeah. And could you tell us a little bit how you developed that skill set? Because I think that is really important in the equine industry, especially in such a hands-on field, is to be able to do a little bit of everything. It makes you very valuable, like you said. So could you tell us, like, did you just gain those skills along the way, or did you set out to specifically learn each of them?
I would say that I mostly have gained all of my skills along the way just from experience. And it's always a bit been my mindset that if I see something that I don't know how to do, I'm going to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice for people trying to get into it, just even from what I've seen. Being able to do a little bit of everything is always helpful, even if you just have your own horses. Being able to do everything and understand right. is super helpful.
And it's so important in the freelancing to be able to integrate seamlessly into any barn, because everybody does things a little bit differently. I mean, at the top level of the sport, everybody's roughly, I mean, chores are roughly the same every day. The flow of most barns is roughly the same. But it's really important to me to see how each client does things a little bit differently and saying, oh, this groom is really particular about their grooming box. So I know that if I go in there to move, like to borrow a brush, I'm going to make sure that I put it back. Or this groom, like on a Sunday, I want to make sure that everything is cleaned and like put away. So whoever's working the Monday has less to do on like the quiet day. So it's just like a lot of, when you're integrating into programs that you're not a part of all the time, I find it really important to just think about all of those little things and try to make, I'm there to make everybody's life easier.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm sure that if you went in with the mindset of I'm just going to do things my way and you weren't observant as to how people like to run their individual barns, your freelance career would probably be very short-lived.
I don't know, but I have also run into freelance grooms that are a little bit like that. And they're like, I want to do it my way, which I mean, to each their own.
Definitely. So let's pivot a little bit to pricing, because I know this is something that probably everybody is a little bit curious about. Could you just tell us how you structure your pricing and what a realistic income range might look like for those who are interested in freelancing?
Of course. So I price differently based on where I am. So I live in South Florida year round. So when I'm at home and I'm working, I work mostly in Wellington. When I'm working from my own home, I charge hourly because I think it helps. It's good for me and it's good for the clients, because if they only need my help for, let's say, 4 hours, they don't have to pay a whole day of work. And also I don't need to be there for an entire day. So it works well because for everybody, because I don't have to feel like I need to stick around for a whole day, and they don't have to feel like they have to pay me for a whole day if that's not what they need. I do a lot of, in the winters, I will do a lot of half days, or if they only have a busy day in the afternoon, I'll just come for 4 hours in the afternoon and help them with that. It gets a little bit different in the summer because I'm traveling, so I have travel expenses. I'm not at home, so I don't really care if I get home for dinner. So when I'm traveling, I charge by the week. So because also when I'm traveling, it's usually with horse shows, which are, the schedules are so unpredictable. You just have no idea what's going to happen. And if I'm not getting home if I'm not going home to cook dinner for my husband, like, I don't mind being at the barn working. So that's how I price it. I think my husband, when I started, gave me some really good advice. And he told me to set my prices for my lifestyle and not for whatever everybody else was charging in the industry, because I found that personally, I think that a lot of freelance grooms are not charging enough, and it makes the job really hard to sustain. Grooming, for whatever reason, has always been something that people want to pay the least for, and they always want to haggle for the best price. But you're you can't do anything at the top of the sport without your groom. Like, they are the most important part. So whether it be you're hiring me to go to a show because you're at home and you do everything yourself and you just need help, or say your other groom is sick or something, or you just have too many horses going to a show and you don't want to overburden your regular groom.
Yeah. After spending some time, you know, helping in the barn, I board my own horse, but also managing in the past, I definitely have seen that where the grooms are probably the most overworked and underpaid. Everybody wants to, you know, pile on as many horses and responsibilities as possible without paying them. And something that I often talk about with friends is the grooms are the ones that they know those horses inside and out. And if the horse looks at them the wrong way, they're the first ones to notice, hey, like, something's wrong with this horse. And when you have, especially, you know, really high value horses, but also, you know, even just somebody's beloved pet, it's so important to be able to recognize those things right away. And I mean, personally, I don't think you can pay enough for just that skill set alone.
Right. And you're not calling the vet out and then trying to negotiate a price for their services. So why are you calling a groom and asking for my help and then trying to negotiate the price? Like, I am giving you a service. I have all of the experience. I've done championships. I've just lived the job for so long. So this is what I'm worth. And if that doesn't work for your budget, then you're welcome to find somebody with less experience or somebody that's not going to put as much effort into the job. That's a little bit, for me, that's how I see it. Like, you're not going to be running a McDonald's and try to hire somebody who's worked at a Michelin star restaurant for McDonald's wages. Nothing against McDonald's, but I think you have to kind of, you get what you pay for.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a perfect way to put it.
Do you enjoy the Stable Management Podcast? Want to learn even more about horse healthcare? Get your management and industry questions answered at Ask the Horse Live, a free audio event available exclusively from thehorse.com. Each Ask the Horse Live episode focuses on a specific equine healthcare topic chosen by our editors. We gather leading veterinarians, researchers, and industry experts to tackle your toughest questions. You can also hear on-demand episodes of Ask the Horse on thehorse.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So you talked a little bit about travel expenses. Could you just tell us maybe those are your biggest expenses, or if not, what your biggest expenses are and how you plan for those things? And also things like insurance. I know that's a huge one, really, even for people who aren't freelancing in the equine industry. Time off, which horse people might laugh at, or retirement.
I have a dual income household, which definitely makes what I do a lot easier because we work together for all of our expenses. But definitely my biggest expense, I would say, is just overhead that I carry in the summer for travel, whether I'm driving or flying. I typically book all of my own travel and then I get reimbursed for a lot of it, but it still is, you know, money coming out of my accounts that I have to be considerate of. As far as insurance goes, I think whether you're fully employed or a private or like a contractor, insurance sucks. It's really expensive. It doesn't cover a lot. So I think it's definitely, you have to weigh your risks. And what's worked really well for us is having a financial planner and having somebody with a lot of knowledge that we can kind of lean on and go to with any questions that we have is what I would recommend. You don't need to be a millionaire to have a financial planner. Anybody can have a financial planner and they're really, really helpful.
Yeah, that's such good advice because I was just thinking about this yesterday. It can be really confusing to navigate all of that. And especially, I think if you're a contractor, that's just adds to it. So I think that's really great advice. Like, knowing who can you trust and who can give you the information, because just like you're an expert on the horses, somebody else can be an expert on the finances and just advise you a little bit there.
Right. Like, I am great at working with horses, but I know that, like, I'm not a professional at finances. I don't know that much about insurance. So definitely seeking out people who know more than you is incredibly helpful in any aspect, I think.
Absolutely. So let's move on to every horse person's favorite topic, which is boundaries. Can you tell us a little bit about how you've had to set boundaries with clients to make this career sustainable?
Yeah, boundaries are hard. Just having them. And I feel like the generation that I grew up in, boundaries did not exist. That wasn't a thing. I've spent many a year working with too many horses for too many days in a row. And it took my husband's perspective, because he has nothing to do with horses, to be like, this is completely insane the way that you're working. And for me to kind of introspectively look at that and be like, you know what? You're right. It is insane. Because when you're in the horse industry and everybody's working like that, you notice that you're tired, but like, you don't really notice how much we put into it until you get an outside perspective. So for me, it was a tough transition learning how to have any boundaries, but also to prioritize doing things that I wanted to do outside of work. Like, I have made it a point to not miss weddings anymore. I don't miss birthdays. We plan trips and I block those dates out on my calendar. And even if somebody asks me to do something like with an important show, I'm like, I'm sorry, that week is booked out already. I'm spending it with my family. Like, at the end of the day, the horses are so important, but also so is your life.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, that was a big consideration when I left managing a barn. I really enjoyed the job I was doing, but I just simply didn't have the time to have a life outside of it. And I think a lot of horse people are in that situation. And you hear that from a lot of people who've walked away from one aspect of the industry or another. So I think that's such a good point.
And one more thing is that the way that I've structured my business, I have put myself in a position to allow other people to have that freedom. So the way my business is structured is I mostly only take regular clients. I don't typically do one-off jobs. I have one of my clients I've been with for almost 6 years and another client I've been with for almost 4 years. And I have a couple other friends that I fill in on vacation time, like once a year. But I want to be able to give people who are still in the business full-time that kind of freedom where they can be like, I want to go on vacation for 2 weeks and know that everything's going to be okay with the farm when I get back.
Yeah, I really like that, because I think that's such a we've talked about this before, especially with like burnout and having a work-life balance, which I think a lot of barn owners and riders laugh at kind of when you say that, because they're like, what does that even mean? But, you know, then they really are burned out and they need that time. So I think setting yourself up to provide that for them is huge and definitely makes a difference. So speaking of burnout, have you yourself experienced burnout, and how has that maybe shaped what a healthy work-life balance looks like for you and made you want to provide that for your clients?
I've definitely experienced burnout. I also just coming down from working full-time as a groom, which is really, you never turn off, even when you're asleep. Like, my phone was never on Do Not Disturb because I always was just, you know, you never know when you're going to get a call that, you know, a horse is sick or something has happened. So just coming down from not having that responsibility anymore and also actively making a point to work less was really hard, because I think when you're grooming and running around all the time, your body just gets a little bit into survival mode. And learning how to have hobbies outside of work and learning like what I enjoyed and how to mentally enjoy downtime and rest and not being tired all the time was something that was really, really important and really, really difficult. I don't think you necessarily realize how tired you are until you stop.
Yeah, even as a horse owner, I can completely relate to that. Like, I do feel like there's always a bit of me that's like always thinking about like, okay, who needs what and when? And, you know, you do have your phone on. My horses don't live on my property. I have them at two separate properties. So I'm always like, okay, like, you know, I recently got a call at midnight that one of my horses was loose and couldn't be caught. So, you know, you kind of always live on edge a little bit. So I can totally relate to that. And I think turning off is really hard because we're just kind of wired to always be a little bit on edge like that.
Right. And that's really my favorite part of the way that I structured how I freelance is that I am able to help prevent burnout in other people. I can come in and I've taken a full weekend of rest, so I can come in on a Monday morning and have all this energy and be able to do extra things that maybe you don't have the energy for. And I love that I'm able to help other people prevent burnout in their staff also.
Yeah, I think that skill alone is invaluable, truly.
And I think that's a little bit like the future of freelancing is that maybe you are burnt out or like maybe the lifestyle that I'm living might work for you. And then we can help other people who are still working full time, have a little bit of a break, make their lives a little bit easier, make all of it a little bit more sustainable.
Definitely. Yeah. If I'm hearing a take home message from today, I think it's that if freelance grooms and those who are working full time at one barn could work together a little bit, we could probably prevent and stop a lot of this like cycle of burnout and then people leaving the industry.
That's what I would love that.
We'll keep working towards it. Unfortunately, yes. That's all the time we have for today, but it's been awesome talking with you and getting your perspectives. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.